This is State of the Union, the DC 37 radio show on 91.5 WNYE FM. I'm Chris Policano. DC 37 is the city's largest public worker union with 125,000 members and 50,000 retirees. We're part of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, also known as AFSCME. We're on the air Sundays at 8 p.m. We rebroadcast on Wednesdays at 1:30 p.m. We also now are available on podcast on iTunes. Simply go to the podcast app on your iPhone or iPad and search for DC 37 State of the Union. There are now more ways to stay in touch with DC 37. You can follow us on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can check out our website, www.dc37.net. And every month, you should keep a lookout for your union newspaper, the Public Employee Press, in your mailbox. Tonight, we have an interesting story to tell. After a very long struggle, which was publicized by both the DC 37 Public Employee Press and which was pushed very hard by Local 983, the Parks Service Workers Union, Jose Molina will be allowed to stay here in the only country that he has ever known. He joins us in the studio this evening with Local 983 President Joe Puglio to tell us the story. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us, Chris.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me, Chris.
We have been covering this to what, you know, it's a story that the Public Employee Press newspaper has told, but it's your life. And what happened, I think it's as far back as a year ago. Would that be correct?
This whole dilemma started in January of 2013
when they we're going back.
Yeah, when they first came, ICE came to my door, and my wife opened the door. They stated that they were police, and my wife opened the door, and they just bone rushed the apartment
at 5:30 in the morning.
5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. Asking for me, Jose Molina, and I asked questions about, you know, what is this? Got no answers. They told me to sit down. They had their guns drawn. My kids were in their room, and they asked me where my IDs were. I told them where my IDs were in the rooms. They just went in, snatched up my IDs, handcuffed me, and took me away. You know, my wife was screaming and yelling, asking, what is this? You know, she wanted answers. They didn't give her any answers.
When did you find out what this was all about?
Once they took me to 26 Federal Plaza. And then that's when they explained to me that I'm deportable for a crime that I committed as a teenager 20 years ago.
And they were detaining you?
Yes, they detained me.
And they were planning to send you...
Yeah.
To Panama.
Because of my conviction in 96, it called for mandatory deportation.
So you had been convicted of a crime. You grew up in New York City.
Yes. I've been here since 1.5 years old as an infant.
And you're now a gentleman your...
I'm going to be 40 in November. So.
And ICE comes knocking on your door at 5:30 in the morning on a cold January morning, arrests you and takes you away, and you find out later that the reason this is all happening is because 20 years before you were convicted of a crime.
Correct. And there's no statute of limitations with the immigration enforcement.
But in the meantime, since you were arrested and paid for your mistake, you have been a father.
Yes.
You have been a city employee.
Yes.
And you have been and your story is a almost textbook example of how a person can change his life around.
Yes, and that's exactly what happened. You know, I grew up in a rough neighborhood, in the rough neighborhoods of Brooklyn, and there's a lot of violence, and it's really hard to keep your sanity sometimes, you know. I committed a mistake because of all the threats that were towards me.
Listen, you did something wrong.
Correct.
And you paid the price for that.
Correct.
And 20 years later, they're coming to take you away.
Correct.
And to send you away from your family because, I mean, it's not like there was, it's not like there was a warrant out for you,
right.
And they hadn't found you after all these years.
Right.
Whatever happened, happened, and now you would, as I said, you had turned your life around. You were working, you are working,
right.
You are a city employee, and you're in trouble.
Yes.
What was that like? Tell us what that, tell us how you felt when you found out what was going on.
It was just unbelievable. I just didn't understand. I honestly just didn't understand how this was happening to me. And, like, this was all new. I really didn't understand. When I first got detained by immigration in January 2013, I beat the case.
You beat the case?
Yes.
What does that mean?
I beat the case. The immigration judge dismissed my case due to an error that they had committed.
A technical error, right. In the paperwork
and,
or something.
Right. And I was released. But they obviously, they overturned the decision. And that process took about 3 years of legal paperwork back and forth with appeals. And they finally overturned it. And they set a court date for me in June of 2017, which was this past summer.
What do you do for the city of New York?
I'm an associate park service worker. I work for the Bronx Boroughs Crews. We maintain, we do all the heavy duty work for the Bronx. We do all the concrete. We do all the blacktop. We do all the fencing. We do all the ball fields. We do all the excavating. We do all the heavy work. You know, we do the jackhammering. You know, we operate all the heavy equipment, front loaders, backhoes, dump trucks.
And you've
we're that fleet.
And you've been doing this for how long?
My position is new to me. I've been at it for a year now.
But you've been working for the city.
But I've been working for the city for 10 years. I mean, but I've operated even before the heavy duty position that I got now. I've always done heavy work with Van Cortlandt Park, operating the skid steers, the tractors, aerating, seeding. So working the sanitation truck, the packers. So I'm not really a stranger to all the heavy duty work in parks.
Joe Puglia, when did the local get involved?
Well, when Jose first came to me and told me his story, you know, at first I didn't believe it. You know, I'm like, how could somebody that's been in this country since he was 1.5 years old, somebody who paid his price to society when he was a youth, all of a sudden be subjected to deportation? And when we got in contact with his legal team, which, by the way, did an excellent job for Jose, they explained to me that, unfortunately, you know, he could be deported due to his status. And we took charge when we found out. You know, we worked closely with his legal team, along with DC 37 and the Public Employees Press, and we put out the word. We were, you know, doing everything that we could, from writing letters to the governor to texting the judges, you know, everything that was possible that we could do, we did. And it seemed there, you know, for a moment, unfortunately, that all our efforts were in vain. Now, coincidentally, my wife does immigration work, and when I explained to him what we were doing, she said, wow, Jose's a very lucky man. I said, why? I said, you do immigration. She says, well, he has at least $100,000 worth of support behind him because of all the publicity and all of the legal that he's gotten through these programs. So, you know, my other, you know, thought was, well, how many other people are there out there like Jose, you know, who doesn't have this defense like he has? He's a union member. He's a governmental worker with an outstanding record. Even managers came to his defense, you know. He had all the support, and I think his wife summed it up the best. She said, this would never have happened if it were my employer. She works for, I don't know if I can use the name, but she works for a pharmacy, you know, a chain. Okay. And she says they would just have fired me, you know, on the spot, and that would have been the end of me. So, you know, it's good to know that you have brothers and sisters out there.
This does seem to be a textbook case.
Yeah, yeah.
Of like, what it means to have a union behind you, helping you. and it's not just the union. I mean, you do have you did have a vigorous legal team of folks. Tell me the name of the organization.
I can honestly say if it wasn't for Joe and my local 983 and the union, I would not be in the position that I'm in right now.
But you
I got great support from my parks agency, you know, all the administrators and everybody there that really supported me that didn't really have to, but they did, and I'm so grateful for them. But you know, the union was really, you know, really awesome in the outcome of my case.
Well, the union was able to bring your story to the
to
world.
Everybody.
So, and the city council, there were city council members who got involved.
Right.
Carlos Menchaca.
Menchaca was a big big influence. He was at my court day on in June when they actually gave me a year extension, but then they reneged on it.
We were covering this story, we would go back and forth about you made progress. Progress was back. I mean, it was up and down because of the dealing with this system is a tough thing to do.
Right.
And you know, I say it's terrific that the union was behind you, and that it's great that we're sitting here talking today. But I can only imagine what the hell is for people who don't have unions behind them. And we're out there.
Unfortunately, you know, unions are under attack. You know, there are a lot of people out there that don't like to see us united, that don't like to see victories like Jose, and they have it for ulterior motives. I mean, I don't think of anything that's better for a worker to be united and to bargain collectively and to defend each other. Like in this example, how much of a detriment it is to society actually is very instrumental. So we have to be very cautious, you know, when we hear these attacks against unions. They're pretty much backed by people that have a lot of money that don't want you to have the best of what's available to you.
We're talking to Jose Molina, who is a city parks worker, and Joe Puglio, who is the president of Local 983. This conversation is going by very quickly. We just have a few minutes left. Were you ready to... I mean, were they going to send you back to Panama? And what was your family going to do? How was that going to, what was going on
so
in your mind?
This has been on my mind for, you know, since it started in January 2013. So, you know, so many different scenarios. It was hard, though, you know. When they detained me this last, in July, when they detained me, I honestly thought it was completely over. Because I'm like, wow, look at all the support that I have. They still detain me. I have no chance. I kind of almost gave up and then started really thinking about, Jennifer, what are we going to do? We got to really think. And it was just hard, you know. What else? Get deported and just try to find work.
It's back to square one.
Yeah.
In a country that you don't really know. I mean, your mother was... I never been to Panama. Your mother
was taken
Panamanian.
Out of Panama. Yeah, I was taken out of Panama at a year. And never returned back. So
this is going on every day. Not this particular story. I mean, this story is. I mean, I was struck by the. What do you have to do? I mean, you paid your price. you did your thing. You've got a beautiful family, and they're coming to get you. What do you have to do to be legit in this crazy world that we're in? It must have been incredibly frightening.
Yeah, well, he played by the rules, you know what I mean? And when he made his mistakes, he paid for them. He never denied making mistakes. He is a productive person who has a family, who has children that rely upon him. And for him to be separated by this ordeal is really, really absurd. And we should really look at what it really means to be an American and who the threats really are.
If you want to read more about Jose Molina's story, go to www.dc37.net. Go to the Public Employee Press and take a look at the stories that we've been running for the last 6 months or so about what Jose was facing. Now, how do you feel?
I feel like I'm speechless because it's like now I can honestly just look forward to the future, you know, to just retire, you know, put my kids through college and just live my regular life. That
which is all you ever.
That's
wanted
all I
to
ever
do.
Wanted. Just do my job. I love it. You know.
All right.
And grow old with my wife and.
And that's all. And that's, that, that's the American dream,
that's
bro.
It.
That's the American dream.
You know?
Grow old with my wife.
Yeah.
Joe, you got anything else you want
to
say?
No, I just like to thank you for having us, and I hope this sparks interest in other people and make them reevaluate what's happening out there on the immigration level. That it is a serious issue. You know what I mean? And it's not people that we don't know. It's people like Jose. That's a governmental worker that could be our next door neighbor. That this is affecting.
I'm just so thrilled to be able to talk to you in the studio, to meet your lovely family, and to know that, we're just gonna go live our lives now, and that this story doesn't have another ending to it. And Jose Molina, congratulations.
Thank you so much, Chris, for having me here.
I'm sorry we've only got a few minutes, but we got to tell your story. And as I say, if you want to find out more about Jose's plight and what he was facing, www.dc37.net. Joe Pulio, Jose Molina, thank you very much for being on the
thank
show.
You
thank you.
We'll be right back.
Were you a September 11th responder or volunteer? Were you present at the dust cloud on 9/11? Do you live, work, or go to school in the New York City disaster area on 9/11 or in the following months? Do you now suffer from problems such as chronic cough, shortness of breath, anxiety, depression, or have other symptoms? If so, you may be eligible for the World Trade Center Health Program and could receive medical monitoring and treatment at no out-of-pocket cost to you. To learn more about the program and get an application, go to www.cdc.gov/WTC or call 1-888-982-4748. If you were there, you deserve care. Call today. 1-888-982-4748. 1-888-982-4748. If you were there, you deserve care.
We're back. This is State of the Union, the DC 37 radio show on 91.5 WNYE FM. We're on Sunday nights at 8 p.m., and then we rebroadcast on Wednesdays at 1:30 p.m. My next guest is the business representative of Local 3 IBEW. His name is Derek Jordan. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you. Thank you again for having me back to give you an update on the striking Charter Spectrum members. They've been out now 127 days as of this day.
Well, I was going to say that, but you said it for me, so thank you. I mean, this is, we wanted to have you back on because I think you were back on like 2 months ago, and we were hoping at that time that we would, by the time, we tape a little bit ahead of ourselves, and I was hoping that by the time we were on air, that the strike would be over, that things would have been settled, that there would have been some justice for your brothers and sisters in Local 3 who work in the electronic tech division?
Yes, it's the ET division, electronic technician.
There are 18.
And it's basically low voltage.
There are 1,800 members of Local 3 IBEW who have been on strike against Spectrum Charter Communications, formerly Time Warner, since March 28th, 2017. They have not had a contract since their previous contract expired in 2013. These are highly skilled and dedicated men and women who install and service cable TV, phone, and internet service, and they deserve a fair contract.
Yes, absolutely.
And there was this past week, a march over the Brooklyn Bridge. Governor Cuomo spoke to the crowd.
Yes.
New York Labor came out in solidarity, and I hope that made these men and women feel that what they were doing was not in vain, because it must be hard to be on strike for as long as you guys have been out.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about this.
Well, the march across the Brooklyn Bridge, that was just the beginning of the shot that's fired to be heard around the world. And prior to that, we did have the Labor Day parade, which our members showed up in, you know, in full force, you know, support of the, you know, the striking members of, you know, against Charter Spectrum. But, you know, going back to the Brooklyn Bridge, I mean, the turnout was phenomenal. We had the Governor Andrew Cuomo. We had Mayor Bill de Blasio. We had the Comptroller Scott Stringer. Public Advocate Letitia James was there. We had New York City Council members. International President Lonnie Stevenson was there, you know, along with business manager Christopher Erickson from Local 3. We had AFL-CIO President Richard Trumka and New York State AFL-CIO President Mario Salento. Who else do we have? We had the Building and Construction Trade Council, New York City, was, excuse me, Gary LaBarber was there.
So, Derek,
I'm sorry. But the support was outstanding from the labor unions within the city of New York, you know, to stand strong with us. It was amazing. It was amazing to see this.
Now, let me understand this. For years under Time Warner, the members of Local 3 IBEW were paid good wages, had health care coverage, and a pension that allowed them to retire with dignity. Now there's a new management in place, or there's been a new management in place for some time now, and they're trying to eliminate the defined pension benefit plan and to replace it most likely with a 401k plan that could, and I know this is true because those of us who lived through the Great Recession understand the difference profoundly. We understand profoundly the difference between a defined pension benefit and a defined contribution. And
yes.
a defined contribution... And this is a racket, in my opinion, that has not been just affecting your members, but have been affecting working men and women across the country. The retirement crisis that is now taking place, the number of folks who cannot afford to retire simply because they have no savings, even those with 401ks, who went from a world in which you worked hard, you did your job, and at the end of the day or at the end when you were ready to retire, there was protection for you to live your life in dignity in your senior years. And that changed that's changed a long time ago now. I mean, it's been a while since the world has had pension benefits, and you guys have had pension benefits.
Yes.
And they're saying, no, we want you to do this other thing.
Yes. And listen, the members have held strong, you know, on the picket lines. They're out there, you know, making a stance. And, you know, one thing is explaining to a new member coming in the difference between a 401k plan and a pension plan. You know, a 401k plan, you have to put your own money into it. And when you retire, you better hope that you have enough in that plan.
And now you're working, folks. I'm a working guy, right? So I'm not,
yes.
You know, I don't know anything about investment management. But somebody said this is going to make stockholders happy, and this is going to, you know, make a whole industry happy about, you know, the retirement management consultants and everything else. And we're gonna take away the freedom that working people have to have retirement security in their old age, and this has been happening across the board. And there are people who actually resent the pensions of working men and women, and
yes.
Those are people who don't have it. And we should be asking, everyone should have, everyone in America at some point, there was a world that was America. You
yes.
worked hard, and
yes.
you got a pension at the end of
yes.
your at the
mm-hmm.
and the world changed, and we are fighting for nothing more, nothing less than retirement security. And,
exactly. Mm-hmm.
And you, as I understand it, you guys work for Spectrum. This is the company that you work for. It must be so difficult to decide to go out on strike. I cannot imagine what it takes to say you're going to do that and then to stay out there for as long as you've stayed
yes.
out there.
The reality is that, you know, our members are fighting for, you know, pension. They're fighting for their medical benefits. They don't want to lose these things.
As working men and women shouldn't lose these things.
Yes.
I mean, this is what the inequality issue is all about. I don't want to turn this into a textbook case or some academic study, but you guys are living proof of what is happening out there to working men and women.
Exactly. And you brought up a point earlier where you said, you know, everyone is, you know, against us because we have that. the people that are out there should say, how can we get this?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Who took it away from it? How did that happen? Why did that happen? I was, you know, people worked their lives. They worked hard. And at the end of 20 years, whatever the career was, you were told, yes, you've put in your time, you've done your job, you've done well, and now you are not going to suffer in your old age. That was like part of the American dream. And corporations have just been taking that, have been chewing away at that dream now for 30 years, and you guys are like drawing a line in the sand and saying we want to be recognized. You're not asking for much. You are asking for what is entitled.
We already have what we already had in place for over 40 years.
And the head of Charter Communications, the guy who runs the company that you work for,
Tom Rutledge, the $98.5 million man.
He is the most highly paid CEO in America.
Yes.
Give me that number again.
$98.5 million.
That's what he made last year?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So what does it take to be out on strike? Tell me a little bit about what your members are experiencing.
I'll tell you something. The members, you know, we have people that are losing, you know, their apartments. You know, people whose homes are going, you know, in for foreclosure. We have people, you know, sleeping out of their vehicles. I mean, it's distressing to hear the stories, and these stories are going to get out to the public more and more. You know, the reality is that they don't want to go back into this work environment, so they are making sacrifices. You know, the union is helping people out the best way they can, you know, through sending them out as helpers, you know, in different jobs to help trying to, you know, ease some of the pain. We do have members that are out there working, you know, they found work, temporary work. But it's extremely rough. And, you know, we're going on 6 months out. So, you know, for the members to really hold out in what they believe in, it says a lot. You know, I think this says a lot. And we're not only fighting for ourselves, we're fighting for other people out there who might be facing the same thing if these benefits are taken away from our members.
Absolutely. Derek Jordan is the business representative of Local 3 of the IBEW. 1,800 members of Local 3 have been out on strike since March 28, 2017, and it's time for them to get a fair contract. Sir, thank you very much for coming back. We're out of time, but
thank you.
Listen, you will have this microphone for as long as you are out there, for as long as you need us. DC 37 is with you.
We appreciate you at DC 37, and thank you for all of your support.
All right. Thank you very much, and we will stay in touch.
Thank you very much.
That's about all the time we've got on the show this week. Before we go, we've got a couple of announcements. The DC 37 Organizing Department continues to hold lunchtime meetings at various sites and on dates across the city, reminding you to come out and be part of the union. For more information about how you can attend a lunchtime meeting, call 212-815-1095. And the DC 37 Education Fund, which holds classes on a wide range of subjects, is holding a resume writing workshop on Tuesdays, October 17th and 24th, 6 p.m. at Union Headquarters. To apply, visit www.dc37.net. That's just about all the time we have on the show for this week. I'm Chris Policano. The producer is Rudy Orozco. The engineer is Andrea Monocchio. Anything that you have heard on this show you want to comment on, write us at stateoftheunion@dc37.net. Until next time, brothers and sisters, ciao.